When he moves among us, all that he does, all of his mercy and all of his love, the pen of the writer could write every day. Even this world could never contain how I've been blessed.
He's my shoulder to lean on when I am down, the rock where he leads me when I'm overwhelmed. The place that he hides me is under his wing. He's not just the song, he's the reason I sing. I have been blessed. I have been blessed, God's so good to me. How precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed.
The warmth in the winter, the flowers in spring, the laughter in summer, the changing of leaves, the food on my table, a good place to sleep, the clothes on my back, and the shoes on my feet. I have been blessed.
Arms that will raise, a voice that can talk, hands that can touch, and legs that can walk. Ears that can listen and eyes that can see. Oh, I've got to praise him as long as I breathe. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. He's so good to me. How precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed.
Well, we live in the country, the greatest on earth. Our flag stands for freedom and what she is worth. She stands in the harbor, Miss Liberty calls. All gave their some, but some gave their all, so I could be blessed.
A father and mother who nurtured and raised, a brother and sisters and memories made, our pastor to lead us, the altar to pray, stripes that can heal and the blood that can save. I have been blessed. I have been blessed, God's so good to me. How precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. I have been blessed, he's so good to me. How precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed.
On deputation. We've enough of the commercials. Let's go in your Bibles to the book of Acts. We're going to go to three places. I want you to hold your place in all three places if you could. We have three text verses tonight. Go ahead and turn this thing on here. All right, we're going to have three texts. Go with me to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse number 8. And if you're familiar with anything, with any of the stories in the Bible, you're going to be familiar with this one. The most important story so far in the Bible is how Jesus came and died on the cross. Okay? Here's the when Jesus is going back up into heaven, this is his last piece of instructions that he's going to be giving to his disciples. Acts, chapter number 1. And verse number 8 says this, "But ye shall receive power," talking about the disciples, right? "After the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And ye shall be witnesses." Okay? Go to Mark 16:15. This is what's called the Great Commission. There's three times where this happens in the Bible that I could find. And All three times, Jesus, I mean, just different words used, but Jesus is telling his disciples, hey, this is the job, let's get it done. Mark chapter 16, verse number 15 says this, and he, talking about Jesus, said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay? Go ye. All right? Let's go to Matthew. Last one we're going to look at for now. Matthew chapter number 28. Back a few more pages. Matthew 28 and verse number 19 and 20. Again, these verses are not new verses to us. They're familiar stuff, but it's something that I want to take a little closer look at tonight that helped me personally. I think it'll help all of us as well. Matthew chapter number 28, verse number 19 and 20 says this, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And here's one of the best parts right here. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Jesus is always with us, no matter what. Now that can be comforting or that can be disturbing, depending on your behavior. Okay? But Jesus is always there with us, knows everything we do, knows everything that we're going through. Like a preacher was talking about this morning, when you have to go out in the woodshed, Jesus is there with you. Okay? It's not because he hates you. It's not because he wants to see your pain. It's because he loves you. Everything in life that gets to you, Jesus approves. Okay? You've heard the illustration of this. You know, we're represented by this pen. When we get saved, we get placed into Jesus' hand. Okay? When at the same time, the Bible says that his hand is placed in God's hand. Okay? Kind of like, I mean, Jesus is God. I just picture one hand, two hands, holding it together. Okay? Anything that gets to me has been approved by God. He has to allow it in. Nothing gets through on accident. Nothing gets through that God doesn't know about or that God doesn't approve. He lets things happen to us on purpose. Either because it's chastening in our lives or because it's something that he's going to use to help us grow. Like, you know, when I've been tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. God has something for us and he uses a lot of things for it. But anyway, he gives a few different places where he says the Great Commission to us. Okay? Go ye and teach all nations. Okay? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. Jesus has this specific something in mind that he wants everyone to know about. My title today is, Could the Ye in those verses be talking about me? I want you all to pay attention as we look at this. Let's pray and we'll get into the message. Dear Father, thank you for all that you've given to us. Thank you for your blessings. Father, thank you for bringing us to church tonight. Please help us to pay attention and to learn something that we can use today. Maybe we not learn anything new, but we can make a decision to do something about what we hear about tonight. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, so far, thank you for coming to church. It's a good thing to have people in the house of God. Amen. It is a good thing that people are here, and I'm very honored that y'all would be here. But right now, I want to take a quick look at these little verses in the Bible that we saw. There's a few different ways that people have of reading the Bible. Okay, number one, people read the Bible historically. Okay, you can read the Bible just for the history that's inside of it. And by the way, the Bible is a pretty good history book. It covers things that no other history book covers. And it's completely accurate. Don't ever listen to somebody that says science contradicts the Bible. That's not true. Every bit of science is observed stuff that you can look at and test. Okay? Every bit of science not only agrees with, but confirms the Bible. Okay. Did you know that every worker ant is female? Hollywood hasn't figured that one out yet because all the movies they have, the guys are the worker ant. They don't know what they're talking about. Every worker ant is female. It's just one of those things that God created like that. A drone is a male ant, but every worker ant is a female ant. Okay. Solomon talked about, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Now, why does it say her? Where everything else in the Bible says his. Okay. God knew what he was talking about. Another thing, and it's incredible. The stuff that's inside the Bible is absolutely amazing. Okay, another thing that's inside there is, whenever the Jewish custom was on the eighth day a man was born, he was going to be named, sacrificed for, and circumcised. Okay, it's just amazing to me that, you know, blood platelets are what allow you to, you know, get healed from cuts and bruises, or not bruises, but cuts whenever you bleed. Okay, the coagulation, all that kind of stuff, whatever clots your blood, you've got more of that on the eighth day of life than you do in any other time of life. You've got a higher percentage of that inside your blood. I thought that was kind of neat. God must have known what he was talking about. So the people can read the Bible historically and scientifically just for a fact book. Okay? And it's a good thing to do. Okay? You're not going to get messed up. I mean, if the Bible says that Adam was 930 years old and died, then he lived 930 years old. Okay? It's not, okay, like dog years. You know, 1 year represents 4 or 5. It's not like that. He really lived that long. Okay? Here's a better miracle. If that were the case, then you've got a 5-year-old having a child. Okay? Because, I mean, the math doesn't work out. People that throw this stuff at the Bible, they don't know what they're talking about. The Bible is a historically and scientifically accurate book. Okay? So that's the first way that people read it. The second way that people read the Bible is doctrinally. Okay, the first way, historically, is God speaking to mentioned people, the ones that he mentions in the Bible. Doctrinally, God speaking to mankind, just to everyone in general. Okay, you can get doctrinal truths out of the Bible just because this is the way God thinks about something, and whatever you read in the Bible about how God thinks, that's the way it forms your philosophy. Okay, what makes me think the way God thinks. Okay, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Okay, that whole principle comes from reading the Bible doctrinally. What does God think about this area of life? Everything in the Bible is given for a reason, by the way. The Bible says in the New Testament that everything in there is for our example, so that we should, you know, learn from what happened. God destroyed an entire city one day, not because they were homosexual, not because of all the sin that was going on, but because there was a lack of Christians in the city. Sin is sin in God's eye. Doesn't matter what kind it is. By the way, God's hate list, pride is on the top, and every one of us are guilty of that. Okay? Pride is more important in God's eyes than homosexuality, than murder, than rape, than all the different sins that we can think of. Pride is number one. Well, I think it was Lee Robertson that says the grandfather of all sins is pride. It's what makes us do things that we wouldn't do to contradict God's word. Anyway, you know, God speaking to mankind about this thing, it's a book that when I learn, this is what I need to do with my life. All right. The other way that you can read the Bible, not only historically, God speaking to mentioned people, doctrinally, God speaking to mankind, you can read it personally, where God is speaking to me. Okay? And that's the level of Bible reading that we should be at. It is a wonderful place to be, to where you can read something out of the Bible and figure out, is God telling me to do this? Now, there's not everywhere in the Bible do you want to do that. Okay? I'll give you a few illustrations in just a little bit. But how some study helps of reading the Bible, you've got to figure out what's going on. We're going to get to the lesson in just a minute, but I like to learn something every time I read the Bible. Okay, so we're going to learn a little bit real quick. How do you read the Bible? What are you supposed to look for? Number one, you're supposed to look for who is doing the speaking. You don't have to turn there, but in John 9:31, here's what the Bible says. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. Now, that is not a true statement, because a sinner can pray and God will hear him. Okay? Cornelius prayed and God heard him. He was a sinner. Every one of us that are saved were sinners when we prayed to accept God's gift. Okay? So when the Bible says, now we know that God heareth not sinners, okay, we've got to figure out what is going on, okay? So when you're reading the Bible, that's where a lot of this false cult stuff starts from, okay? They take one verse and build an entire doctrine off of one verse, okay? And none of the Bible contradicts itself, but the Bible says you compare spiritual things to spiritual, okay? You build precept upon precept. Nothing in the Bible is going to contradict, but the Bible says that nothing is of private interpretation either. That means you don't just highlight one verse or a section of words or a passage or whatever out of the Bible and leave out everything else in the Bible that contradicts the idea you're trying to get off of what you're reading, okay? So you want to figure out what's going on. Who is speaking, number one? In this statement, Jesus was not speaking. Do you know who is saying this? The man that Jesus healed his blindness. They were questioning him about, you know, who is this guy? How did he open your eyes? And the guy, I mean, he's just an average Joe. He doesn't know. He's not a Pharisee. He's not memorized tons of the Bible. He's one of the guys that just goes to church every once in a while, all right? And he says, well, we know that God doesn't hear sinners. Well, that was not what Jesus was saying. That's what this guy was saying. That's part of the historically accurate part of the Bible where the guy really said that. Okay, but it is not what God is teaching. All right. Another thing you want to look at, in addition to who is speaking, who is being spoken to. Okay? How many of us would like to take this as a life verse? Genesis 6:14. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Now, we can build a life's purpose on every single one of us building a boat. You know? But God's not talking to us there. He was talking to Noah. Okay? We want to know who God is speaking to. Next, what is being spoken about? Let me read something here. Matthew 10:22. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Does that mean that if you endure to the end of your life, you're going to be able to be saved and go to heaven? No, that's not what the Bible's teaching. We know that salvation is a gift from God. You get there by faith, telling God you're deciding to trust Him instead of you. That's the decision that you've got to make. That's what gets you to heaven. This right here, people take it and they teach that you've got to, you know, live right and die right. But that's not true, okay? What is being talked about? Jesus is telling the 12 disciples, He's sending them to different parts of the nation of Israel, telling them, I want you to go raise the dead, heal the lepers, open the blinded eyes, all these different things. And He said, because you're doing this in my name, people are going to hate you, and they're going to deliver you into the temples and into the synagogues, and you're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake. But when they start persecuting you and delivering you up to the councils and all that stuff, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. What's endure mean? Patiently take it. Okay? The disciple that's going and preaching and doing what God wants them to do, what Jesus, the guys Jesus was talking to anyway, He said, if you just patiently sit there and take it, you're going to be able to be delivered from what they're trying to do to you. You'll be saved from what they're trying to do to you. Okay? So it's not talking about salvation, not going to heaven. It's talking about they're going to be delivered from their predicament that they got themselves into. All right? So who is speaking? Who is being spoken to? What is being spoken about? Why is it being spoken? Okay, Matthew 10:5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. Now, I'm glad that's not what Jesus had in mind for the spreading of the gospel. Only Jews can be saved. I'm glad that's not what He had in mind. But why was He doing that? Okay, Jesus had a reason that He only wanted them to go to the Jews at that time. The Bible said it wasn't time for them to go to the next part yet. Jesus wanted this whole area to be saturated first. There was a reason for this thing. And lastly, when was it spoken? Okay, Genesis 9:25, and He said, cursed be Canaan, and talking about Noah, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. You have people that take just one verse and build it a huge racist doctrine out of the Bible. Absolutely no other word for it, racist doctrine, and they say it's what the Bible teaches, but it's not. Noah was doing the talking, but guess what was on Noah's mind? The last bottle of alcohol he just drank after the flood. He was drunk as a skunk. I mean, it was bad, all right? The Bible says after the flood, he became a vineyard and drunk of the wine. And the Bible says he was laying in his tent drunk, slap drunk, okay? The Bible says the curse causeless shall not come, all right? So we've got to figure out what is going on in the Bible when I read something out of it. If you take these little five principles that I just gave you right now, and any cult that comes to your door, or any person that tries to tell you something about the Bible that contradicts to the truths that you've been taught about the Bible from the church right here, I guarantee you, you look at it in the context, figure out who, what, when, why, where, and how, you figure out those little adverb questions on that one, you'll figure out that they have no idea what they're talking about. You'll stay safe, okay? The Bible says we got to beware of wolves, people that sneak in and try to mess up what we're trying to do for God. By them, they mess with our minds is how they do it. We got to be careful. So use these, okay? So for tonight, the three verses that I gave us, go ye into all the world, go ye into all nations, ye shall be witnesses to me. Am I part of the ye? Are we part of the ye? Okay, is ye talking about me? So what we want to know is God telling us to do that, okay? Let's figure out what's going on in the passage. Who is doing the speaking? Every one of these, it's Jesus, okay? All three parts, Jesus is doing the speaking. Who is being spoken to? He's talking to the church
that he started. Pastor talked about that a little bit. Jesus started the church when he was alive in this world. Matthew 16:18, I believe, is a reference for it. Upon this rock shall I build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus started a church with his disciples and the other followers that were with him. The Bible says about 120 people gathered together right after the death of Jesus. This is not after evangelism has been going on. This is just the church that he started. Okay? So who is being spoken to? The church is being spoken to here. What is being spoken about? He's talking about worldwide evangelism. He's talking about, I want you to go to everywhere, tell everybody about how to get to heaven. That's the subject of what's being spoken about, okay? All this is important, and you'll figure out why in just a second. It's important what's being said and who it's being spoken to, because of if this is true, if I really do fit in that ye right there, then there's something God expects of me. Why is it being spoken? Here's why. Because lost people need to be saved. That's the long and the short of it. People are dying and going to hell by the second. We saw a blinking light at one of the missions conferences we're going to. Bing, just about this fast. Every time the light went off, 4 people died on average. Okay, just the 6.8 billion people in the world, more than that are being born at that time. But 4 people being dying right at that rate. Most of them have never even heard a proper presentation of the gospel. Most of them not even heard the name of Jesus. Okay, just amazing stuff. Why is Jesus telling them this? Because they need to be saved. John 4:35, say ye not there are 4 months and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Jesus said, we need to get it done. Jesus is telling his church that the subject is we need to get everyone saved because they are on their way to hell. And when was it spoken? Just one more thing here. Before the resurrection and before the tribulation. It was during what preacher called this morning, the church age. Okay, God dealing with the local church. So, here's how all that is important. Let's find out if the ye means me. Jesus is speaking to his church. I am part of his church. Okay, I got saved. What is required to be part of Jesus' church? All right, born again and baptized. Part of God's church. I'm not talking about, universal church up in heaven, stay at home with your fishing pole out of the lake, not that kind of church. I'm talking about go to church kind of church. Okay? Your local church where every person that gets saved, that accept God's gift, ought to go to regularly and find a place of service that they can use their spiritual gifts that God gives them when they get saved. Okay? It's a local church that God wants people in. Okay? If you're part of this church, you got there because you got saved and you got baptized. Right? That's the way it works. That's what, okay, I'm part of this church because I got saved and I got baptized. I'm part of the church in Florida, my local church over there. He's speaking then to me. If Jesus is speaking to his church and I'm part of Jesus' church, then Jesus is speaking to me. Okay? So far, the me is part of the ye, all right? The next thing, Jesus told his church to accomplish worldwide evangelism and not just participate in it. He told my church, because he told his church, he told my church that, I need to, my church needs to accomplish worldwide evangelism. Not just try, not just help some other churches doing it. I mean, my church has got to do it. I have got to be an active part in this thing. He told me, so the me is part of the ye here. He told me to help my church accomplish worldwide evangelism. Jesus told his church that lost people were on their way to hell. Jesus told my church that lost people were on their way to hell. He then told me. That lost people are on their way to hell. Jesus told them, his church, to do this before he came back to rule the world. Jesus is not coming back to rule the world yet. So Jesus wants my church to accomplish this task before he comes back. That means Jesus wants me to help my church because I'm part of the church. He wants me to help them to get this job done. Okay? The ye is talking about me. And it's talking about you and every single person that is saved and in a church. Okay, from the context of what's going on, we're not going to get messed up in a cult out here. We're not going to go, be doing something and get called crazy for doing. We might get called crazy, but we'll have something to base it on. God says ye, and he means me. We have got to do this. There's not an option. The great suggestion. No, it's the great commission. He tells us, you do this. Okay, we're not our own. We're bought with a price. Jesus paid for us when he died on the cross with his blood. That was the purchase, the agreement. He bought us. He owns us. We are literally slaves to Christ. Now, it'd be better if we started acting like it, you know, just obeying the way he wanted us to obey. Here's something that came to my mind not too long ago. I thought this was incredible, right? If I obey God the way I expect my children to obey me, I'd be a pretty good Christian. You know, if I would just do what I know I'm supposed to do, I'd have this thing down pretty good. And God wants that for every one of us. We are to do what God says. We are in the ye. We have got to accomplish worldwide evangelism. This church is who God is talking to. He's not talking to every church collectively. He's not doing that. He's talking to us tonight here. The people sitting in this room, we are responsible for telling everybody in the world. The Bible calls it every creature. Everybody, every family, all nations, however you want to say it. Everyone has got to hear the gospel, and it's not anyone else's responsibility. It's the responsibility of those sitting in this room right now. Okay? If there was no other church in the world, that's the way we're supposed to take this thing. Well, okay, how many? There's a few of us in here tonight. There was only 12 people that Jesus was talking to at that time. I'm sorry, 11. Judas was off the scene, all right? 11 people that Jesus was talking to. He told 11 people to go tell the entire world how to get to heaven. One church. Okay? Still, he's telling one church, this one, go and do everything you can to reach all nations, to teach everybody about how to get to heaven. At least give everyone the opportunity to get saved. Now, people ask us, why are you going out to South America? Why don't you just stay here and start a church and do stuff here? I'm all for that. People here need to get saved. My thing is God's given us the ability to get out there, and there's no way that people can figure out how to get to heaven. They go to church, any church that they go to, they tell them you got to be good and you got to do things to get to heaven. That's not a gift. That's not what God says you've got to do. The Bible calls it the free gift of eternal life. There is no gospel witness in the places that we're going. Zero. You couldn't get saved on accident out there unless you just got a Bible and ignored the priest's instructions not to read it. All right? You're getting it yourselves. My wife's mom got kicked out of the Catholic Church because she was asking too many questions about the Bible. Okay? People are blindsided because they don't pay attention to the Bible. Okay? If you just read the Bible ourselves, that would do a lot of good. The Bible says about the people in Berea, the Christians in Berea, they were more noble than those of some other place because they took the scriptures home and studied it out themselves to see if those things were or not. Okay? That's what God... So, anyway, this church is responsible for all nations. Now, how in the world is that going to happen? How? I don't know. You know, how are the people in this room supposed to reach every single person in the world? God gives you a method. Everyone, tell someone else and teach them how to tell somebody else. Your basic pyramid thing, okay? But it's the way it works. He wants you to do it, all right? So, how can I get this to happen? Jesus wants me to help in this task. How can I help my church accomplish worldwide evangelism? If this is going to happen, how is it going to happen? A four-point plan. You ready? Here's where the sermon and the practicality and how this helps me comes in tonight. Ready? Number one, we have got to pray for it to happen. We have got to pray that all nations will be reached. Number one, you got to pray for it to happen. Luke 11:2 says, and he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. He wants people added to the role of heaven. That's God's will above anything else, is for people to go to heaven. Okay? That for people to get saved, for everyone everywhere to have the chance to get to heaven. That's what God wants. Okay? So I've got to pray for it to happen. I've got to pray for more workers to make it happen. Matthew 9:38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I'm supposed to pray for more people to be active in doing this thing. Okay? Next, I've got to pray for workers that are making it happen right now. If I know someone that's going out and telling people how to get to heaven, I am to pray for them and keep them encouraged, lifted up, held up the arms over their head, however you want to say it, encourage whoever is doing the work for God right now. I'm supposed to be helping them any way that I can. If I am not able to do it right now, or even if I am, I'm still supposed to help my fellow brother and encourage him to be able to do it. I'm supposed to call him on the phone and say, hey, how many people did you get saved this week? How many people did you lead to the Lord? And encourage him to do something. You'll be able to poker right there. You might have said, iron sharpeneth iron. We want to be able to help each other to get the thing done. Encourage them. Be a place for them to come and, you know, to be able not to be criticized, but to be helped. Okay? We're supposed to pray for the workers that are doing it already. So number one is to pray. Number two, how can I help my church accomplish reaching everyone in the world? Number two, we've got to give. Okay, and I'm not just saying it because I'm the missionary. I was saying it before I was the missionary. Okay, but right when God called us to be a missionary, this is amazing. Okay, we had just got set up with an absolutely awesome paying job. Just incredible. We made more in that little time that we had that job than we had in the last 4 years being in the ministry. It was amazing. Okay, God had set us up really, really good. Okay, but here's what happened. God says, this is not what I have for you. I want you to be a missionary. But while I was in that job, guess what? Anytime a missionary came by, we would do everything we could. If we didn't have time, we'd shove money inside their hands. And don't do it to me, okay? I'm just telling you, for example, that I was doing this. We're taking them out to eat. We're, you know, encouraging them, giving stuff to their kids. There was a missionary that we knew that was on the field. We packed up suitcases of stuff they wanted. They said their one biggest request, the stuff that they could not get down in the mission field in South America where they were at, Dr. Pepper and Starbucks. They couldn't get them. So we loaded up our suitcases full of this stuff, spent a bunch of money going down there just to take up a bunch of stuff and to help them out for 2 weeks with what they were doing. Okay? Giving is important. And we don't just say it because we're in the ministry. It's something that God says. Okay? Compares it to farming. You throw a few seeds down, you're going to get a few results. You throw a whole bunch of seeds down, you're going to get a whole bunch of results back. All right? But you've got to give. How do you give? You give, number one, you give your time. Okay? I'm going to put my time into the church. Whether it's, you know, if the pastor needs a Sunday school class, if the pastor wants to start a bus route, if the pastor wants a friend to go out soul winning with him, I can spend my time doing something for God. I don't just give my money. Money's good. But time is more valuable to God. God owns the money, remember? If you don't tithe, God always gets it somehow. Either the tire goes flat or hospital bill. It happens that way. And I'm not saying that everyone that has bills is not tithing. I'm not saying that. But if you don't tithe, God's going to get it anyway. It's your rent for living on His earth, for breathing His air and eating His food. It is rent. It is not a gift. It is rent for us living on God's planet. Okay? He's going to get it. But giving is something God wants us to do. Number one, our time. Number two, our talent. Anything that I can do, the spiritual gifts that God has given me, there's all kinds of lists of spiritual gifts in the Bible. It gets complicated, but here's a real easy way to think about it. If I can do it, I'm going to do it for the church. If God's given me ability to do whatever it is, it might not even be talked about in the Bible, but if I can do it, I don't think God talked about programming web pages in the Bible. I don't know. But if you can do it, do it. Do something for God. Give whatever talent God has given to you, give it back to Him. He'll give you more talent, like the story of the talents. He did it. He gave the guy his talents back, and the guy's talents that didn't use it, He gave him his talents too, so he could do something for God. Alright? So, we're supposed to give our time. We're supposed to give our talents. We're hurrying here. We're almost done. We're supposed to give our treasure as well. That's where the money comes down. God's work requires two things. Money and manpower. You got to have someone to do it, and you got to have some way to pay for it. And that's just the long and the short of it. It's got to happen. Okay? The lights don't turn on without the PG. What are they? P&M? Who are P&M out here? With the electric bill being paid, it's got to happen. Okay? So we've got to give those things. Number one, we've got to pray that people will get saved, that all nations will be reached. We've got to give so that all nations can be reached, so everyone can have a chance to get to heaven, so they can hear at least a good presentation. Whether they want to accept it or not is not my job, but at least I can tell them how. Okay? Third thing that we need to do is we need to go. Someone has got to go. Okay, we can't just sit here and expect the job to get done. It's not going to happen that way. We've got to get someone to go. Like Jesus said, pray ye therefore laborers into the harvest. Maybe we can't go. Some people can't. Some people, it's physically impossible for them to live in a foreign field, and it is not healthy, and they can have a better effect for the cause of Christ staying here, teaching somebody else what to do and preparing them to go. Okay? Like King David, preparing Solomon to build the temple. He couldn't do it himself, but he gave him everything he needed to possibly, that he could have possibly needed, to get the temple built. Okay? The job got done. All right? That's the idea. Maybe we can't go, but we can get someone to go. We can go out soul winning and find. Talked to a guy that's 25 years old yesterday, got saved. Man, it'd be great if he came to church and started to grow and got called to preach and into the mission field and going and telling people how to get to heaven. That's God's idea, okay? I'm going to tell you this story real quick. If everyone wants somebody else to do it, it'll never get done. Basically, if I'm assuming you're going to do it and you're assuming I'm going to do it, then no one's going to do it. I got a really cool story here, okay? There was once 4 church members. Here are their names. Everyone, someone, anyone, and no one. They had been given a job to evangelize the world. Everyone was sure that someone would do it. Anyone could have done it. But because everyone thought someone was doing it, no one finally did it. No one was angry at someone because it was everyone's job. In the end, everyone was angry at someone because no one did what anyone could have done. Okay? Here's the idea. Somebody's got to make it happen. It's confusing. It took me like 5 or 6 times reading it before I finally understood that. But if I don't do it, it might not get done. Okay? Remember, God told me to help my church get the job done. That means I should be volunteering, saying, what needs to be happening? Talk to the head of the church, the preacher. Preacher, please find a place to use me. I want to help accomplish the cause of Christ. Let's be organized about this thing. I'm not going to be over here pulling the rope this way and the preacher over here pulling the rope this way. We're going to pull together on this thing, get the job done, move a lot more dirt that way. We're going to do something for the cause of Christ by working together and just volunteer. I want to do something for God. Okay, another story here. When the girl, baby Jessica, remember the story about baby Jessica? You know what I'm talking about? The girl, the 18-month-old girl that fell down an 8-inch pipe. Read the story on the internet this afternoon. Happened in 1987. Fell down an 8-inch pipe 29 feet down inside the ground. Just playing, crawling around in the backyard one day with a few other kids at a daycare. Just crawling around and just found the wrong place. She found the wrong place. Man, 29 feet down inside the ground. Amazing. The kids started, you know, they were really scared. They went and got the lady that was in charge and told her, you know, Jessica fell down the hole. You know, so they looked at flashlights. They couldn't see her. Way too far down for flashlights to see her. They made none. Finally, they could hear her crying out of there. They lowered they called the cops and they lowered a microphone down inside there. And I got a picture of the mom listening on the microphone as she could hear her baby crying 29 feet down in an 8-inch hole. Okay, they later found out that she didn't just fall straight down like this. Okay, if she'd done that, she'd have gone a long ways down. She went with her right leg down first and her left leg down last. Her body in the middle. She did the splits. I can't even do that. Down that pipe. Okay, and you know how long it took for them to get her out of there? 58 hours. Longer than 2 full days. That's 2.5 days of this girl being inside this pipe. Okay, what finally happened on it? They had a man. I mean, he didn't. I heard a story one time how the man went down the hole, grabbed it, and someone pulled the rope and pulled him back. That's not the way. I finally found the truth. That's not the way it happened. What they did, they drilled a hole, a small hole next to that pipe, all the way down there, a little bit lower than where the girl was at. They measured it and everything like that. And then, but it was rock solid stuff. It was solid rock. They couldn't do. Kept on sharpening the bits. They were not able to get this out. That's why it took so long. At one time, they were averaging 1 inch an hour going down. I mean, just ridiculously. I mean, because they couldn't have the big equipment because they crushed the girl inside the pipe. So, I mean, it was amazing. But they dug this hole straight down. And when they got down, they started to go straight in. But they realized they were at the level that the girl was at. So they had to go down a little ways. Then they got to where the pipe was. They broke the pipe open. And then looking up, they could see the little girl's leg. That's when they figured out what position that she was in. So the man that's inside there, he's still a really dangerous situation for the two guys that were down there. What's the guy's name? The one that actually pulled her out was Robert O'Donnell. But he's inside there with his boss, his boss is holding his leg, shoving him in this sideways hole. They're down inside the long hole, 30 feet down, and he's shoving him sideways towards the small 8-inch pipe. He finally cut through a hole in the pipe, was able to reach his hand up there and start pulling the girl down. She was not moving. She was stuck. Okay, he finally got some lubrication and slubbed it all over the thing. He was moving her and moving her. She'd cry. There was times that they had recorded her on the audio, the microphone they put down there. They'd recorded her singing, playing, crying, sleeping, snoring. I mean, 2.5 full days of 18-month-old activity. Okay, but finally, after he lubed the tube up, I mean, he is, in his account, he had to wiggle himself in like a snake inside, sideways and downward inside this rock solid, I mean, hurting. That's got to be hurting, you know, into this area where you can twist sideways, reach his hand up and start yanking on the girl to get her down. She wasn't moving. Finally, he was getting her about, when she got down into the lubrication part, about 1/2 inch at a time. Then she'd cry and tense up and he couldn't pull her anymore. Then he had to, tickle her a little bit and play with her and sing to her and call her a little nickname, call her Juicy, and start pulling her down a little more. And he couldn't get her down for another. And finally, she started coming. Okay? 58 hours after she fell down into the hole, he pulled out baby Jessica and brought her back up to the top. The girl lived and got married a year ago and has got a kid of her own right now. Saw a picture of her on the internet. That's a pretty good result story right there. No major damages. Nothing. I mean, her foot that was stuck on top of her head had been cut off of circulation for some time. It was black when they pulled it out of the hole, but it started pinking again. It started getting the blood going back inside of it. Didn't lose anything. Cuts and bruises, that's all. And no traumatized memory either. You couldn't remember the thing. But here's the idea. We had to have two guys that go down inside the hole, and you had to have one guy that would cause himself some serious discomfort to be able to get the job done. Okay? There was a lot of people that showed up to this scene. Tons of people showed up. I mean, newscast, all the EMT guys, the paramedics, the police department, the fire department. Kind of like when our bus caught on fire in Georgia. Everyone was there. All right? So everyone was there. But here's what happens. Two guys made it happen. Everyone volunteered. How can I help? What can I do? But when it came down to it, it said, all right, I need someone to jump inside the hole 30 feet down. We'll lower you down 30 feet down, then go 5 feet that way. Okay? When it came time to volunteer down to it, there was nobody that was willing to do what it took to get that girl out except two guys. They said, all right, no one else is doing it. We're going to do it. We got kids that are that age, and we would hate to be this kid's parent right now. We're going to make sure this happens, or we're going to die trying. Okay? That's what happened. Okay? They needed to get this girl out, and they caused themselves some serious discomfort and some serious danger and all these different things that everyone on top said, yeah, use me, but I don't want to go down in that hole. Everyone saying that didn't help the girl at all. Two guys that were willing to get down inside the hole helped her. That's what missions is. That's what God's looking for in this church. God's looking for the people, not just saying, I'll come to the church. By the way, you do God no service by going to a church service. That's how God does you service. He helps you by teaching you His truths from the Bible. Your service to God is to go into your neighborhood and tell your friends, your relatives, your neighbors, or your associates and your neighbors, tell them about how to get to heaven. That's how you do something for God. It's not just by going to church. Do something in your community. Tell people about heaven. Okay? But God's looking for just a few people that would be willing to say, that's me. I'm going to do it. And if I can't go on the mission field, I'm going to pray for those that are doing it. And I'm going to pray that God sends this church some more people that will be willing and able to go. God wants ye to include me, to include you, to include every person in every church to get the job done. But we've got to look at it like we're the only ones that are going to do something about it. So if that's the case, let's figure out what do I need to do so that I can personally help my church get this thing done. Let's get the job done. Let's get the gospel around the world. Let's make sure that everyone at least has an opportunity to hear how to get saved. That's what God's looking for. Let's go ahead and pray. We'll bow our heads and close our eyes. And I don't think there'll be any music, but if you stand to your feet with me, we have an invitation here. If God has spoken to your heart tonight, saying, hey, there's something that I can do to help get the job done. I'm realizing now that the ye is talking about me, and I want to do something for the cause of Christ. I don't want to just sit here. I don't want to just be in the church service. I want to do something. If that's you, come on forward right now and do business with God at the altar. Altar business is done. You know, you come down, you make the decision. If God's talking about you and wants you to do it, when the music starts, I want you to take the time. I'm going to pray, then we'll have the invitation. Dear Father, thank you for all that you've given to us. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for bringing us to church tonight so we can hear your truth. Now, Father, please help people to make decisions for you. Help them to have a desire to do something for you, Father. Please help us to change tonight, to make a decision to do something different than when we were when we came in. We love you and thank you. Now, as the music starts, if there